I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio. Massachusetts lawmakers have lifted the ban on prescription drug coupons. The coupons will make some prescription drugs more affordable, but health insurance advocates are saying these coupons are a short-term benefit to a long-term issue that will ultimately drive up the price of health care. Massachusetts State Senator Bruce Tarr advocated for prescription drug coupons. Senator Tarr, how will these coupons affect Massachusetts residents?
Well, first of all, good afternoon. It's great to be with you. And second, it will affect a limited number of folks because I think, as we all know, they won't be available to Medicare and Medicaid recipients, and they also won't be available when there's a generic equivalent available for the drug that they're being issued for. But what they'll do is help a lot of folks who are struggling with one of the most difficult costs families face, and that is the cost of prescription drugs, by giving a discount so the co-payments will be a little bit less and a little bit more affordable. And I think we've all heard the stories of folks that are experiencing extremely high costs for some of the prescription drugs that are necessary to keep them alive. So for a group of people, it's going to make a big difference in trying to afford the kind of health care we want them to have and prevent them from needing other things that are more expensive if they can't afford to take their prescription drugs.
All good points, but there are many that worry that the consumers will end up buying more expensive drugs to use the coupons because that's the only way they can. If there is a generic drug available, you can't use the coupons. They're only applicable to brand name drugs that tend to be more expensive. They're not always, but I think it's fair to say that most of them are. So do you worry that what you're doing, that maybe some of the consumers could do better by continuing to buy generic drugs, and now they'll have a coupon and assume they're getting a better deal with a brand name drug?
Well, that certainly has been a concern throughout the debate on the subject, and clearly we were concerned about that. And if there's a problem where folks can't afford a generic drug, then the system has issues that we have to address in another way. But we also did contemplate the issue that you just mentioned, and so the law that we passed as part of the budget actually says that you can't issue a coupon if a generic drug is available, and the standard for that is if it has an AB rating as a generic from the Food and Drug Administration. So we've answered that concern by saying that you can't, as a drug manufacturer, use these coupons to sort of upsell someone on a branded drug when a generic is available.
Now, Massachusetts was the last state to move toward issuing these prescription drug coupons. As a legislator, what made you say, okay, time out for the ban that's been in place since 1988? We've had a ban on rebates for health care purchases since then. And, you know, this is a pretty big move.
Well, it is a big move, but again, it's done in a limited way, and I want to remind folks that the removal of the ban is only in place until July 1st of 2015. So we didn't do it permanently. We only did it as a way to see if this would have positive benefits and to weigh any negative impacts. But the reason that it was so compelling for me to get involved in is because I don't think citizens in Massachusetts should be the only people in the whole country that can't get a discount on the prescription drugs that they need, but all too often they can't afford.
State Senator Bruce Tarr, what also is going to happen, which I think it may be unique to Massachusetts, is before 2015, when the bill has to be renewed or expires, there is a study that has to happen in which those who will take a look to find out whether or not this, in fact, the use of these prescription drug coupons did drive up the health care costs. I think that's probably going to provide some pretty important information because, as we know, there are those who believe that's going to happen right now. If, in fact, it turns out that it did, will you be one that will allow this bill to sunset?
Absolutely. I'm going to be willing to look at the study. It's going to be done by the Division of Healthcare Finance and Policy in the Department of Public Health. And my decision-making here will be largely guided by whether or not they identify real negative impacts. And that's, again, one of the things that I think adds a safeguard to what we did as a legislature in this case. We didn't just say we're going to repeal the ban outright. We said we're going to do it for a couple of years. We're going to study the impacts. And in the meantime, some folks are going to get some relief that I would argue they desperately need and deserve, given the fact that folks across the rest of the country already have it. But yes, I'll be willing to pay close attention, and the information that results from the study will be one of the factors that counts in my decision-making. It may also be, however, that there might be a slight increase, but that increase is offset by the savings to consumers. So we're going to look at the situation in the totality of the circumstances. And I think, again, as we are often want to do in Massachusetts, we're going to make an informed decision and hopefully a decision that will be looked at by the rest of the country because there are concerns in the several states about this issue.
So the pharmaceutical companies were very much behind this. They argue, as you do, that there are savings to the consumer. I mean, we all know, even we little people know, that the pharmaceutical companies have huge lobbying efforts to get some of these bills through because it's an obvious advantage to them. Do you have any concerns about the fact that, even as far as you're concerned, as you've explained, this helps the consumers, but it's clear that it's going to be kind of a bonanza for them?
Well, I don't know that it's going to be a bonanza for them to take a sacrifice on the cost that they charge for a drug. I think clearly they have an interest in marketing branded drugs because they command a premium over generic drugs. But the way that we've limited the bill, I think, reflects that the legislature clearly thought about not enfranchising them with a monopoly on branded drugs and selling them to consumers. And I heard very little from the pharmaceutical companies about this particular issue. I heard more from folks who were saying, I can't afford to buy the drugs that I need to stay alive. And for me, that was the compelling reason here. Again, Massachusetts is also one of the epicenters of medical research in this whole country. And if along the way we can send a message to the folks that we hope are going to employ people here, thousands of people here, to develop new drugs, that we want to partner with them and help people get the drugs that they need, I'm not so sure that would be a bonanza, and I'm not so sure it would be a bad thing. What it would be a bad thing is if we allowed them to substitute a branded product for a generic product and drive up the cost of health care, but we put in safeguards to make sure that doesn't happen.
How do Massachusetts residents get the coupons?
They're generally issued by the pharmaceutical companies. My understanding is that they might also come through the provider, through their doctor, who's writing the prescription, and they might also be available, again, through websites and things that they are sponsored by the drug companies. I mean, clearly they have an interest here in trying to make sure their drugs are used. I hope that that interest is going to be among competitors rather than as against generic drugs.
Massachusetts State Senator Bruce Tarr, I know that you can't stay with us for the rest of the conversation, so thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. And I really appreciate you bringing this topic to the attention of folks all across the state. I think it's an important one. I think we've acted responsibly, but we're going to be looking at this carefully. And I would encourage folks to follow the issue so that we can ultimately make the right decision on a very, very important subject.
All right. Thank you. That's Massachusetts State Senator Bruce Tarr, who advocated for prescription drug coupons. Now, joining me in the studio is Amy Whitcomb-Slimmer, the executive director of Healthcare for All. And Healthcare for All opposed the use of prescription drug coupons. They seem like a pretty good idea, Amy. Why were you opposed to them?
Boy, I really appreciate Senator Tarr's comments earlier. We agree with him on several things, but one of the things we vehemently disagree with him on is that drug coupons save money. In fact, our experience shows that they increase the overall cost of pharmaceuticals. We would agree that drug prices are very expensive and can be out of reach for some of the consumers who need them. However, coupons are a deceptive marketing tool that work very well for pharmaceuticals. That's why Big Pharma came into Massachusetts and tried very hard to get this first-in-the-nation law overturned, and sadly were successful. Even if for only this brief period of time, it's disappointing, and we're worried about what impact this will have on the cost of healthcare in our state.
So break it down, if you can, even a little bit in a more detailed way. You know, I hear coupon. I take my coupon. I need to get this prescription drug brand name, because that's the only kind of coupons that are available in Massachusetts. And there is no generic, so I couldn't even buy a cheaper one if I wanted to. But now I have an opportunity to pay less for this drug. Why isn't that a good thing for me?
Well, you do. There may be something that's therapeutically equivalent, but not necessarily a generic treatment for the alternative for the medication you're looking at. It may be cheaper for you in the short run, but your insurance company will pay the exact same amount they were going to pay anyway. They don't actually know that you're utilizing a coupon. Hmm. The coupons also have a determined shelf life, so it may be that you are on using the coupon for the first 2 months of your treatment, But if you're being treated for a chronic illness, your drug price will go up steeply after the expiration of the coupon date. So over the long run, the drug price will actually be more expensive and will result in more out-of-pocket costs for you than it did at the initial implementation or when you first accessed the coupon.
So you can't get more than it's not like a grocery store coupon where I have I can buy toilet paper for X number of days, but then I'm pretty certain that the toilet paper company is going to send me another one. You know, doesn't work like that.
It does not work that way.
Okay.
In fact, it is, it's to inspire brand loyalty, and they've been successful. As I say, this is a marketing tool and technique that has worked. That's why the pharmaceutical companies have asked to get back in this market in Massachusetts.
All right. This is Amy Whitcomb-Slimmer, my guest, who's in studio with me. She's the executive director of Healthcare for All, and we're talking about the prescription drug coupon legislation that just became effective. Massachusetts was the last state in the union to allow for this kind of coupon. Healthcare reporter Trudy Lieberman has been covering healthcare reform for years. Trudy Lieberman, how does this feed into the bigger picture of drug prices?
Well, this is just a micro issue, really, in the larger question of, do we want to really control pharmaceutical prices in this country? And I think the answer is probably not at this point. We had a chance during the health reform laws that was going through Congress to have negotiations with the Medicare program and the pharmaceutical industry. That was sort of on the table at the very beginning of the health reform debate. It was quickly taken off the table because the administration made a deal, actually, with the drug companies. The drug companies agreed to pretty much support the Affordable Care Act as long as there wasn't this rule that said that they had to negotiate prices of drugs under the Medicare program, which would have been sort of a benchmark and set the standard for what pharmaceuticals cost. But of course, the pharmaceutical industry would have no part of that because that would limit what they could charge for their drugs. So we didn't do that, and that gets to a larger question of whether we really do want to control the price of drugs. We know that drugs are very expensive in this country compared to other countries in the world, particularly in Europe and in Canada. We know that Americans are having a hard time paying for these drugs, especially now that on their health insurance policies, they're being asked to pay very large co-insurance amounts and co-payment amounts in addition to high deductibles. So what they are doing, there's this cost shift going on in the health insurance market that is impinging on what people can afford to pay for drugs, even if they do have drug coverage. And most people do or probably will have. And so what we have here is the needs of the pharmaceutical industry to make more money, and they do this through brand name drugs, as Amy pointed out quite correctly. That's where they are making their money, and coupons that stimulate people to buy brand name drugs is good for the drug industry. I think we have to step back and look at coupons as a marketing technique all through American products, the history of American products. We've gotten coupons all our lives for toothpaste and soap and cereal and all kinds of stuff. So this is just following marketing practices that are going on in the U.S., only it's a little different because pharmaceuticals are, for many people, essentially to stay alive. Whereas a box of cereal is not necessarily that essential to you. You can eat other things. And so it takes on a different kind of framing here, and I think that Amy correctly pointed out this dichotomy. So then going back to the question about whether these coupons are going to be helpful to people, well, they will be for some people. But the question is, what's going to happen after the 2 or 3 months and they've tried the drug and perhaps they like it, and they do have some brand loyalty to XYZ pharmaceutical company, will they keep buying the drug? And, of course, pharmaceutical companies hope that they will. So in some ways, this is just another way for the drug companies to enlarge their market for brand name drugs. And I think we also need to step back one more step in terms of the Affordable Care Act. We do know that the pharmaceutical industry has agreed to help close the donut hole for people under the Medicare program who have very high drug expenses. And those are for brand name drugs. So what we're doing is encouraging the use of expensive brand name drugs through these couponing activities and through the donut hole business in the Medicare law. And so therefore we are essentially moving away from this idea that we want more and more people to use generics. So they're kind of contradictory here.
That's healthcare reporter Trudy Lieberman, who has been covering healthcare for reform for years. So one thing I have to keep emphasizing in this conversation, because you mentioned Medicare, that this coupon program does not impact people on Medicare and Medicaid. One of my colleagues here in Boston wrote a piece last year about a gentleman who, you know, got hit with this increase in fees from Medicare, just so people have an understanding of why this is an important issue, but not the one we're talking about right now, but I don't want to confuse people. So his copay went from $42 to $600. This was a column written by Marjorie Egan for the Boston Herald. So that gives you a sense of how what we're talking about in terms of increase. So that's set that aside. These people are not affected. That's something that State Senator Bruce Tarr said they need to address, but they haven't. So here we have a scenario that potentially people who then start to use these brand name drugs here in Massachusetts with a coupon can find themselves, I don't know, you pay for Herceptin, I don't know how much it costs, but it's expensive. Let's say you're paying $100 a month with a coupon, and then your coupon runs out, and now it's back up to potentially $600. I don't know what you do, Amy Whitcomb-Slimmer.
I think that is a very difficult conundrum. And I would point out that part of the reason that the Medicare and Medicaid populations are exempt from this particular provision is because the federal statute sees these coupons as kickback schemes. Mm. So, in fact, what we had done in Massachusetts was model our prohibition on coupons on what the federal government had allowed. I think it is terribly difficult when somebody has a medication that is a saving, that is maintaining their life, that then goes off coupon. One of the compromises that Healthcare for All suggested was for folks with a chronic illness or for a lifetime disease, that the coupon would be available for the life of that patient or for the term of the disease. And that absolutely was rejected out of hand as not, again, that would be against the profit incentive that the pharmaceutical industry is looking for.
So that brings us back to your point that, because I was under the impression if you have a coupon based, as you and Trudy have explained, that's, you know, that's part of a marketing thing. But a coupon is not over. It comes back. But in this case,
they
not necessarily.
It. That's right.
So Trudy, back to you, Trudy Lieberman. And by the way, we are continuing our conversation looking a little bit more closely at the prescription drug coupon legislation, which was just passed. Massachusetts had banned rebates for health care purchases since 1988. So this is a huge thing. Rhode Island and other states have had coupons. Some people have even gone so far as to change residences to take advantage of prescription drug coupons. And Massachusetts has always allowed coupons for over-the-counter medication. Want to make that clear. So we're talking about brand name prescription medication, not generic medication. That's what's on the table for use of these prescription drugs, which both Trudy and my guests Trudy and Amy have just explained are limited. You may have one and it may go away and that's it. Then you're back to paying the full price. So Trudy, since you look at the whole nation, let me ask this question. Since Massachusetts is the last state to allow coupons for these prescription drugs, and we are going to study whether it drives up costs, overall, as you look around the nation and in states where they've been using these coupons low these many years, have the costs gone up?
I don't think I can answer that question because I really haven't studied each and every state that is using them. But I do want to come back to one point that you were making with the Medicare person whose deductible went up to $600. We're talking about the non-Medicare market here. And people who have health insurance in the non-Medicare market are paying higher and higher cost sharing. Mm. And this is where those coupons will be helpful to them, leaving aside the larger issue, because if you have a very high deductible and you have another way to pay for your drugs, even for a few months, I think a lot of people will see that as an advantage, and certainly the state legislature did. The larger question is, and this they're not addressing here, is what is the price level we really want for these drugs? And does this encouraging the use of brand name drugs take us away from the effort of using generics and trying to get people to use a lower cost drug? This has been a policy question for a very long time, and we sort of settled it during the debate that we kind of do want people to use generics. So the question is, are we going to move away from that policy prescription?
And just to be clear, the drugs that are not generic for which people could use these coupons are drugs like Herceptin, Nexium, Cymbalta, Humira, Luesta, Abilify. Those are the drugs that by which you might be able to use these prescription drug coupons.
And these are very heavily advertised drugs on television.
Absolutely. Yes, they are very heavily advertised. We know that I keep thinking I need to take Luesta. I've seen it so many times. The generic drugs that you cannot use these coupons for would be drugs like Lipitor and Zantac. They have some generic equivalents. Now, Amy Whitcomb Slimmer, Executive Director of the Healthcare for All, here's the thing about Massachusetts, and Trudy, I don't know if you know this. Massachusetts has the highest use for generic drugs. 80% of prescriptions are folks who are using generics.
You're exactly right, and we're very proud of that, actually. We believe that that has moderated some of the increase in our healthcare costs, and we're very concerned that going back to a mechanism like coupons will have a direct impact on the prescribing patterns of our providers. Again, we estimate that about $4 billion a year are spent on these advertising techniques, and that they have a significant enough return for the pharmaceutical industry that they've pushed them again here in Massachusetts. I appreciate Trudy can't speak to individual states and what the healthcare costs look like. We actually rely on a study put out by Consumer Reports, which is a well-respected organization without financial interests in any of the answers that they in the research that they give, and they have found a direct impact on coupons to overall drug pricing. So again, we're very concerned. We appreciate that we have a sunset clause included in this legislation, and frankly, we'll look to some leadership from Senator Tarr if, in fact, we and Consumer Reports are right that coupons will increase the overall drug pricing here in Massachusetts.
And we have, again, the 3-year study.
Yes.
So even before the bill is scheduled to sunset, there is a study that will be released that will indicate, you know, where these trends are happening and if the costs are up and blah, blah, blah.
Yes. And again, we appreciate that we will have some science and facts backing us up. We are troubled and concerned about what this will mean for out-of-pocket costs of consumers in the short run.
Amy Whitcomb Slimmer, I have to ask you about this. A lot of people were surprised that Healthcare for All advocates for consumers and their health join with insurance companies to oppose this. Insurance companies are not necessarily the people that you all side with. Why'd you do that?
You know, it's a very interesting question, and you're quite right. Generally, often we get in tussles with payers or providers, depending on what the issue is. But in this particular instance, the way coupons work is there is a shadow billing system that happens. So for a consumer in the short run, it may be a smaller out-of-pocket cost, but the insurance company pays the same amount for the drugs, whether you're using a coupon or not. And that extra cost eventually gets passed back to consumers with increase in our premium prices. So we believe it's, in the short run, smaller out-of-pocket costs. But in the long run, it adds to the cost of the overall system.
I think we have to go back and look at the larger question. That what do we want to pay as a state or as a nation for pharmaceuticals? And I think that this couponing thing kind of moves us in a different direction.
Can I also say this is a difficult and thorny issue for individuals. There are some folks for whom these coupons will make a difference. There are, in fact, chemotherapy treatments that are available with coupons, but they're not available for people on Medicare and Medicaid. And I think that issue gets to the larger challenge of addressing, as Trudy was talking about, overall drug pricing. Vitally important for us to take this on.
All right. Thank you very much to both of you for talking to me about this prescription drug coupons and their impact. I'm Callie Crossley, and I've been talking with healthcare reporter Trudy Lieberman and Healthcare for All Executive Director Amy Whitcomb Slimmer. Earlier, I spoke with State Senator Bruce Tarr. Amy Whitcomb Slimmer is going to stay with us. She'll talk us through how Governor Patrick's latest bill will attack rising healthcare costs. You're listening to Boston Public Radio, 89.7 WGBH.